Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Don McGuire. We already got one of our guests on the line. Let's try to get our other guest, Brittany Olinda Elkin, on, and we'll go ahead and get the show started. Try to give her a call back here in just a second. Ladies and gentlemen, if you follow Brittany Olinda Elkin, then you realize that she's been doing these live feeds with Q, and they're vastly grown in popularity. These two are becoming an internet sensation. I got one half of the group on right now. Q Lee, welcome to the program.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going, brother. I wish I had your other half here. She, you know, like a typical woman, she's showing up late. No.
Yeah, she's busy weight cutting or something like that. She's probably nervous. Maybe she got nervous or something. I did talk to her before we started, so I'm not quite sure what happened to her, because she knows to be on at 3 p.m. her time and mountain time. So I don't know what's going on with her right now.
But, well, she hasn't changed her number recently.
No, I mean, she called me probably half an hour ago or something like that, saying to get ready and just, just to give me info about your show and, like, how to go about and stuff. So, yeah, we're pretty surprised here. It's just been taking off. The Q&A with Q and me, it's been taking off lately. I think we're talking about how it's different, considering that most people in the MMA or fight world take themselves very seriously, and so we're just kind of like the couple that just kind of jokes around and just kind of pokes fun at different random things. And we're going to be moving forward with the show. We're probably going to be starting to interview more and more people, and like, we've already gotten interest from different people who think it's hilarious and want to be on the show and do like little guest spots with each of them. It's been great. It's just been kind of impromptu ideas that we just come up with on the spot and just kind of take off from there. So.
Yeah, you know, well, I'm an avid watcher. I'll be quite honest with you. It's different. It's refreshing. It's a breath of fresh air in many aspects. You know, I know both you and Brittany are with Fight to Win, but you know, two individuals working for an organization doesn't bring out the type of characteristics between, you know, two people, unless they find themselves meeting each other on an equal plane, or they just see each other in life, you know, in a whole new light. And that's what's transpired between you and Brittany. What initially brought you and Brittany together and brought this video and the two of you doing these shows to the forefront? Because it's vastly grown in popularity, and you guys are both becoming internet sensations over it.
I would say that when we get together overall, like when Team No Sleep, which is the entire crew, Seth Daniels on top, we just kind of shoot the shit and just kind of constant. Am I allowed to curse on your show?
Yeah, you can cuss all you want, bro.
It won't be every other word, but, it's just kind of, we get together and, we just kind of shoot the shit and just talk a lot of trash to each other. Or just, I don't know. We're trying to make a a lively. We're trying to have fun. It's a big promotion. It's an entertainment company. You know, we want to entertain people, and people get entertained watching our fights and, you know, watching whatever. And I don't know. We just kind of got together and just had a couple of good laughs. And, you know, we're trying to always outdo each other with, you know, a good laugh, you know, at the dinner table or while we're working or behind stage or, you know, breakdowns or whatnot. And then, yeah, it just kind of goes from there. I would say that, like, everyone does contribute overall on the team, and it just kind of goes with everybody. It could be anyone randomly. I think it was Brittany and Missy Brittany and Missy was the one that came up with the idea. And they just kind of came up to me randomly and just said that, oh, you know, we're gonna go live on the air or live on Facebook with you and me. I was like, oh, really? And it just kind of went from there. It was really on the spot and very impromptu that started. But apparently it was Missy who's also on our team, and she does a lot of the administrative work and a lot of the promoting up front, where, you know, Brittany and I were kind of doing the building and the hands-on, the build outs and whatnot. But yeah, she's just a friend of ours as well, and she was the one that came up with the show title. It's really catchy. So I would say that Missy is one of the writers for us too. If we were to say, like, it's a comedy show that, you know, we need writers in the background. I just got a text from Brittany saying that she's ready now.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, let me break off for 1 second. She's blowing me up and apologizing for being late.
Hello, so sorry.
Hey, you know what? It's only fair. You know,
I Thomas Keenan'd you.
Oh, holy shit. Well, we've got Q on the show with us. You know, it's only fair that you showed up late today, considering my station shut down and I had to miss last week's interview with you. You know, like I was telling Q, one of the reasons why I wanted you guys on, the videos that you guys started, they're growing immensely. You guys are becoming internet sensations. Now, Q's already gave his thoughts a little bit on that aspect, but what does it mean to Brittany Elkin to be able to do these with Q and watch it grow so immensely?
Well, like, goof, a ton of fun, and, like, we're kind of, like, always on the road or something like that. We get these opportunities to some of our heroes in our community, and we're like, well, let's make this as fun as we can and get to meet them on a little bit, like, other than, what is this? And we make a joke with them or something and laugh with them. I think it's, like, something I'm going to look back at when I'm 90 and be about having fun about, you know? So it's just awesome. I'm so happy.
Yeah, you know, AQ, I hate to put you on the spot, but, you know, I thought this was one of the most hilarious shows you guys did to date. And that was about the jalapeno, you know. Go ahead, sir.
No, I'm fine. Go ahead. No, go ahead. I couldn't hear you clip that.
I was going to say, did that truly transpire in your life, or was that just an impromptu moment?
No, it really happened. I just was dumb and just was eating and just wasn't thinking about it, and just kind of, like, went to the bathroom right away and just started touching, you know. I was just like, oh, man, it's really hot. All of a sudden, just, I was like, oh, crap, I forgot to wash my hands. And I know that, you know, and I know I should be doing that. And just, I was telling people that story, and you know, I got a lot of random reactions, like, man, that's some kid shit, man. You need to not be doing stuff. I'm kind of like I do get a lot of shit from the crew. I mean, I'm the white belt. Like, our crew is, you know, I mean, a lot of high level belts on our crew, and I'm just like the lowly white belt who, you know, is supposed to be mocked, I guess. I kind of get the, you know, it's like entering the frat. Like, I'm on the low guy on the totem pole, so I do get a lot of shit from many people. But it's fine. It's all in good fun, and I'm not, you know, bothered by it or nothing like that. So I just kind of, like, you know, do dumb stuff.
We have so much fun. He was actually so hilarious, and, like, yeah, he's – tell him how long you've been a white belt, Hugh. It's not like – it's something worth you being a little around with.
I've been a white belt for 3 years, and I would say that I'm kind of almost wanting to, like, make this a thing now, because, I mean, it's
I mean, I also have a page called Q-Checha page, and I'm trying to be the world's greatest white belt and win at the, you know, world level as a white belt kind of thing, and just kind of it's kind of mocking for sure, like the white belt culture in the jiu-jitsu world of people who think they're just, you know, God's greatest or whatever, they're know-it-alls or something like that, or they already know everything, or, you know, they're going to be the next champion or something like that, but they're still just white belts or something like that. And so it's kind of like making fun at that idea that people, you know, people think they're great and they just started or something like that, or telling you off. And so I've just been, we've all been kind of going with it. So like I was saying before, that I would say like a lot of us are just kind of contribute, and we're all kind of like writing jokes for each other and whatnot. So.
And we're hilarious. And Missy is also a huge part in this too. She is on the crew, and she's one of, you know, the, like, the most funny of our crew, and she's in the background, and I think it's going to be great because one of Q's crushes is coming on our show in Maryland, and that is DJ Jackson, and like he contacted us and asked to be on it.
Yeah. Which crush? I love them all, for sure.
But like, yeah, we just want to like, yeah, Missy's got to, she's got to be like out of it, because she came up with Q&A with QB, and like, came for like, you know, a lot of the jiu-jitsu community hasn't ever really been highlighted the same ways as the MMA fighter has, but they're equally as notable sport, and like, or as, you know, better.
Yeah, you know,
and it's like, go ahead, Don.
You're breaking up, you're breaking up really bad. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me?
There you go. Yeah, I can hear you perfectly
now. I was just like, a lot of the jiu-jitsu guys don't get the, you know, little highlight or fun. So it's kind of cool that, you know, we as a team came up with this little fun idea, since we get to be with them to like have fun with the athletes in, you know, a funner way than like normal. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, that's kind of like my show. You know, I could go and do a Wikipedia or Tapology show, and nobody's going to take anything from it. You know, you always got to, you know, change it up and make it you. You know, you did bring up, you know, one of Q's crushes, but I happen to know of another crush that I heard about, and I'm going to ask Q, and I'm going to put him on the spot, because there's a picture out there on the internet of Q, and he's got this shit-eating grin on his face, and I just want to ask him, what are his thoughts on Professor Tom DeBlas?
Oh, that one's another question. I have too many questions. I'm like a jiu-jitsu whore or something. I kind of like way too many people. I mean, I followed Tom DeBlas for sure. He's got a big internet presence, and so I finally got to go to his school, and you know, it's like awesome to finally meet the legend in person. You know, and he, I mean, for sure, he's everything that he says online. It's really funny. Now that 2017 and people can be whatever they want on social media and on the internet, you know, and, you know, people who talk big or something like that, and then you meet them and they're just scrawny or, you know, or, yeah, they're just, you can still be a faker on the internet in 2017. I mean, ooh. But, I mean, when you meet Tom, he's just like how he is on the internet. He's a very genuine person and just very well-meaning and very positive, you know, really good outlook and very dedicated. He's everything that he says. And so I think that's very unique, and it's a very, very special quality, since there's so many people who can pretend to be whatever on the internet. And he's most definitely like a real person and genuine. So that's why he would be in that aspect.
Yeah. You know, to even make your crush even that much more better, you know, he's one of the first professors that ever has gone out there and said that he is truly a white belt at heart. So there you go, Q. There's a Q-anism for you. He, you know, Tom DeBlas is a white belt at heart. You're striving to be the longest white belt. You know, Q, I'm going to put Brittany on the spot for a second, because it's my show and I can. You know, she put you on the spot through these questions and people asking questions live. But if you had to ask Brittany a question, what question would that be if you wanted to put her on the spot?
I'm not really good with this whole improv thing. I've been trying to flow with this, and it's been taking me a second. I can't really think of you know, Brittany questions that would put her on the spot. Like,
thank you.
I'm just not good at that kind of stuff. I don't know. Who's your biggest crush, Brittany?
Ooh, Q, how original.
Right? I don't know. I just can't.
Do you want to know for real who my biggest crush is?
Okay.
The sexiest man in BJJ to me has ultimately got to be Gordon Ryan. Oh, my God. He's taken, so it doesn't matter. So.
I thought you were going to say Tyler Bishop.
You thought you were going to say what?
I thought you were going to say Tyler Bishop, the Mississippi Dreamboat.
I have not yet met Tyler Bishop, so I can't say firsthand that he's number one, but that's my number one BJJ crush.
You know, Britt,
which is also part of Tom the Boss's crew.
Oh yeah. I'm very familiar with Tom DeBlass. We're friends in life. We're friends on social media, and Tom DeBlass has played a very pertinent part of my life. And you know, he's probably going to kill me later for this, but that's okay. You know, but as we started the show, you were here. You know, I talked to Q about, you know, anybody can work together, anybody can build a relationship together, but you and Q have been able to build this relationship that is priceless. What do you think led you two down this path?
Go ahead, Q, you answer first.
I already did answer when you were late to the show. That's what.
What brought it up is just like, you know what it did is I friend zoned Q soon enough that we got to build a real friendship.
Yeah, I got friend zoned pretty hard, like right on the spot, like I didn't like right away. Oh wait, okay, yeah, that's a unique story. I think it was like, how did it go?
Yeah,
was,
tell the story,
Q. Like,
tell it.
I think it was when right before I first met her, I think there was like a confusion or something like that. I was like, oh, I think Brittany likes me because I think, I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I remember. I put an angry face. You were in a relationship and I put an angry face.
That's what it was. Yeah, I put down I was in a relationship and then put down. And then she reacted with angry face like, oh, what? She was like, she wanted to get with me? She was trying to get with this? Oh, okay. And I was like, oh, well, that sucks. You know, and then
all of us.
I told Seth. Yeah, and Seth, you don't want to tell Seth certain things because then he'll just be blunt about it and just go ahead and tell the person anyway, you know? So I told Seth, like, oh, dude, I think Brittany was, like, crushing on me, you know, because she's, like, angry that I'm in a relationship now. And so Seth goes directly to her and goes, like, oh, so are you mad that Q's in a relationship now? Are you, like, really, like, bummed about that or something? And I was like, Seth, what the fuck? And Brittany's like, no, not at all. One day, I was just like, well, why'd you angry face that? I was like, oh, I was just trying to be, like, original. I was like, oh. I was like, so you don't like him at all? And she, like, laughed. Like, no way do I like him at all. And I was like, aw. And that was in front of the entire team. That was like 10 people.
In front of a whole bunch of people. Oh,
yeah,
cute. We need to.
And pointed at me. Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, we're gonna go to therapy.
Yeah.
You know, one of the show topics I think you guys should come up with, Q, and this kind of intrigued me about you is you have a fetish of taking pictures of people while they're asleep. What's up with that, Q?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I'm all about being genuine and real, and we're called Team No Sleep, and yet, you know, Seth and Troy were sleeping on a job, and I'm just trying to show them that we can't be like that. We have to, you know, be true to our word and just kind of – well, because honestly, like, I'm the one that drives, too, and so they're the ones that are constantly sleeping on me, and so, you know, I'm kind of bored. Like, it's a long drive. Sometimes we're, you know – it's hours and hours of driving. I remember one time we did a show in Seattle, and then the week after, we did the show in Philly. And so it was like 4.5 days of just driving. So, I mean, you get bored on the road and, you know, just come up with random stuff like that, you know, when you're just driving like that. So it's not like I do that all the time. I just only do it once.
No, don't let Q lie to you. He has all kinds of fetishes, and you just struck a nerve, and he's trying to cover it up. He got his 30-day badge, and he's all up on one that he's not, like, creepy. But, no, he's super creepy.
Yeah. I'm very creepy.
Hey, Brittany, well, why don't you tell us, you know, what's really up with Q? You know, he's gonna take the internet by storm. He already.
I think that Q is amazing. Like, he's hilarious. But I have a couple of friends that like want to ask him like why, because I think he's so smart that he just I don't know. He's a comedic genius. You're a comedian genius, because he's amazing. Oh. And he is going to take the world by storm. He cracks me up every time. He's like my favorite person to hug when I see too. So you just wait, internet. Q-Checha's going to Q-more the internet.
Q-Checha's coming to get you.
Yeah, you are. Q, you know, honestly, to be quite honest with you, I have a couple friends named Oleg and Jay. They did a video one time, not thinking much of it, only to wake up the next morning, and I think it had 500,000 views. This is where I think Q is going. I think it's going to be called the Q-Net by the time you're done with it, my friend.
Yeah, the inter-Q-Net.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, it's really random. It's really been random too, how it's just kind of like people just been catching on. I think it's just kind of infectious and just it's been pretty funny that the kind of people just catching on. I was asking Brittany earlier too, was like, how come people are really liking our show? It's just, I guess it's just randomly like funny and put together, and you know, people just want to be entertained, and so you know, they want to take a break.
Plus I think like people are curious too. They're curious.
Curious.
Curious. Oh gosh. You know, I know when I watch your guys' show, I'm just dying. You know, and Q, you got out of ass. I can't even speak today, Q. You got me all messed up. But you dodged a question that I threw at you on your live video, and now you're on my show, so you're gonna have to answer it.
I can't do it.
Do you consider yourself the true Asian persuasion?
Elaborate on that. What do you mean?
do you feel that you're the next Asian thing, the next hot Asian man to come out on the market and be an internet sensation?
No, I mean I'm humble. I just keep my head down and do whatever. I mean, I just keep my head down and do whatever. I'm not really one for it, but it's kind of weird because you know we are in entertainment, so we kind of are the center of attention. But yeah, it's kind of one of those weird things. I would say I'm more like trying to work in the background, but I don't know. It just kind of happens from time to time. I guess you just kind of do something ridiculous, say something ridiculous. I mean, I've been in entertainment. Or, you know,
is it making sense yet, Don?
No.
It makes sense. I don't know. I'm just going to ramble, but I mean, I've been
before. He's still dodging the question. You know, Brittany, what makes Q the next Asian persuasion, the new hot person? You watch his video. He plays so
You get trapped in his mentality. His eyes are very powerful, and the words that come out of his mouth have so much meaning that it just grabs your attention and you can't stop looking at it. And sometimes you almost drool and you have to like wipe your stuff away because you're just in awe of this human named Q. And that's where I'm going to leave it. You got to make your own ending from there.
Looking back at, since the beginning of you and Q, what would you take away as your most memorable moment, Britt, that Q has given you, although there's thousands?
Oh, my God. Just this last week, he told me to help him and get under the truck. And he hit me in the head with the truck bed thing, like,
Oh, my God. I'm still sorry about that. I didn't do it on purpose. It was like I tricked her. Yeah, that was pretty bad. It looks really bad when you think about how it happened, but I wasn't trying to do that on purpose at all.
He's like, come help me with this brick, come under here, and I came under me. He let the door down and he slammed it up. You're awesome.
That was bad, because that didn't work out correctly. Yeah, no, it didn't.
But
work
that's
out
probably not the best one. That's just the most. Q's tricky. Q's tricky. There's a lot of memories. Yeah. They're just going to have to expose one at a time. Because, I mean, there's a lot going on there.
You know, well,
yeah.
I've
apologized appreciably for that.
You know, one thing I do want to touch on, with you two coming together, it's probably been one of the freshest aspects of social media that I've seen in a while. You know, do you just plan to keep this show on via Facebook, or what are your plans with it? Because, you know, it truly is growing. I do think that Brittany and Q, I think you guys need to create your own page and, you know, along with the others involved, create a page, and that way people can start a mass following. What are your guys' thoughts?
I did start a page, actually, on Facebook, but, I mean, I could start a – I honestly am in agreeance with you that it could be, like, a really fun trend since we already travel to all the major metropolitans in America right at this moment, you know, and we're visiting the top athletes everywhere. I think it could be huge right now. What my pocket allows is Facebook Live. But, you know, we are waiting for Netflix to call. Or Hulu,
yeah.
Or something like that to put it on the air. Flow Grappling maybe could pick us up, and we could do Flow Grappling, little segue thing. So.
Or HD, cool. You could hit up HDNet or Mark Cuban.
Yeah, Mark Cuban, where is he?
Yeah, we could hit up HDNet or somebody.
Yeah, I could hit Pat Miletich and have him, because he works for Mark Cuban, so we can work on something at that angle. I think this show is a tremendous thing. You know, Brittany, you truly inspired me when I first met you on the show. One thing I loved about you is you're outspoken, you're forward in life. Never in a million years did I imagine that you had friends like you. And when I saw this first video, I'll be honest with you, I was dying. I had to wipe the tears away from my eyes. You know, what is it about this team that allows you guys to be so close and create these types of memories?
You know, we're like carnies. We're the jiu-jitsu carnies. And we all just accept that, you know what I mean? Like, all of us have had an interesting go at life, and we've all come together, and it's like that thing, like, where, you know, like minds attract each other, and you know, we just keep it going, and we basically raise the bar so high now that if we're not, like, you know, don't say something if you don't got something funny to say. I don't know what to, you know what I mean, but we're just a bunch of carnies on the road together that are willing, that don't get offended, you know.
And I love that about you guys. You know, it truly is a breath of fresh air. You know, you're a tremendous warrior, Brittany, on the mat and in the cage.
Thank you.
Now you bring this sensation. I'm going to call you from now on, Q. I'm going to call you the Asian persuasion, no matter what. I think it fits you well. You know, Steve Inman used to be the Asian persuasion, but now you done stole that title.
There you go. Know.
At the end of the day, Q, what would you like people to most know about Q?
Like my Facebook page, Q. I'd like to have a couple more likes on there than the 100 that I have. Apparently, there are people. I think there's like kid athletes who have more likes than I do. And I think that's been bugging me lately. I think we have like Cole Abate and John Pineda Jr., who are like kid stars, and I think they have like 500 likes, and it's kind of sad that I only have 100 or something. But
so that's like a life goal for you, is more like on Facebook. That's your goal.
More likes on Facebook.
That's what you want,
yeah,
people to remember you by, is how many likes you have.
Yeah, anything to get their mind off of touching my penis after the jalapeno incident. Anything to wipe that memory from anyone's mind, that will work for me. So, yeah, just more friends would be nice. Because I don't have any friends. So that would be the one thing I could take away.
Okay.
People don't,
like,
I mean,
that.
I'm
you
a white belt, apparently.
Go ahead, Q.
Hello?
Well, I was just saying that I'm like the white belt, and so like people are like, I don't think I get taken that seriously. I think I'm getting taken more seriously now because I'm with Fight to Win, and you know, it's a serious promotion and it's really well respected. But for sure it's just like, this is the white belt on the crew, and just kind of like, I'm not taking it very seriously when I go to different gyms or whatnot. So I don't have a lot of friends because of that.
You have a ton of friends. I'm sorry I had to get in my car for a second. It'll be loud for a second. You have a ton of friends. A ton. And everybody loves you, and everybody always checks on you. And you know me and Missy think you're number one. And Missy told me that you treated her like a queen. So everybody loves you, too.
You mean
once the show airs, Q, you're going to be – I'm going to make sure you're an internet sensation. I'm going to do whatever in my power to get Q more likes. We're going to start out a like GoFundMe page for Q. You know, we're going to
we'll have all those like other
likes.
Yeah, you'll have more than Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah. Anything, cuz I'm not relevant. I'm dying for it.
Well, maybe we should just make you Q Lee Kardashian. You're the Q-dashian. And then Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian. Somehow get me more fame. I would say that like this is much better than like the first time I got famous was, you know.
Famous. Oh my God, Don, this is a great story. You have to hear. Yes.
Okay.
Tell him.
So what I was trying to allude to earlier about how I'm not like that, you know, I've been around the entertainment biz for a little bit, out in LA for a little bit too, but one of the stunts that I did pull to get on network TV was I got naked for a dare, and it was for a bet. I think it was for like $20 in college to just walk through this cafeteria naked. And it was filmed and everything, and I got arrested. I went to jail, you know, and we all got a laugh out of it. But, we got the tape sent into this TV show called Shocking Behavior, and they bought the content, and then it got aired on Fox. And I had 15 minutes of fame. So I had some minutes of fame back then. And so it blew up for a while. And, you know, I was like 21. My mom found out right away. I wasn't expecting my mom to find out about it, but I don't know, just everyone knows somebody. And so the very next day, like, she called me the morning after, she called me, and she was just so embarrassed. And she said all these church members came up to her, and, you know, they said they know who I am. And I don't know how they know who I am, but they're just like, oh, that's Sanjali's boy. And, you know, just like, they came up to her directly right after church and was just like, oh, we saw your boy naked on TV and stuff. And it's just like, oh. Yeah, so I mean, I've seen it before, and just it's on. If anyone can look for it, it's called Shocking Behavior. It's on. It's actually on YouTube if you can find it. But it's called Shocking Behavior 1 and 2.
Oh, we're gonna find it. We're gonna get you the likes you want. We're gonna do a throwback Thursday. I think tomorrow Thursday, I'm gonna look all night on the internet for your wiener, just like you. just like you got famous for your wiener on our show. I'll get you double famous.
Sign my wiener in general. Oh, thank you.
It'll be blurred out. It won't be. Yeah, I'm gonna look all night.
It was blurred out naturally. It was blurred out naturally on the TV show because it was on Fox. It originally aired on Fox, and now it's like syndicated everywhere. It's on Univision too. They translated it into Spanish. And
oh,
now it's on
my God.
Yeah, it's still
everybody
on, it's still
see.
On,
yeah, you are famous.
You can see it on cable TV, whatever that network that does just like Real TV. I think it's Real TV or whatever that network is that all they do is just show like cops or whatever. It's on there.
I'm sharing it
but
tomorrow.
You can also see it on YouTube. Yeah,
okay.
You can share it. Oh no, you won't. Okay, you can do that.
Thank you for all the information.
I'm like 28 minutes in.
Yeah, Britt, if you can't find it, just let me know. As you know, I just signed a syndicated deal with Univision and iHeartRadio, so I could get
cool.
The IT people and see if we can pull that video and get it shared.
Awesome.
Q is a man of many secrets. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Q is a man of many secrets because there's also something else that he's not. He's actually more famous than he'll let on. You know.
I know he is.
I did a little bit of research on you, bro. You know. What's up with you being a professional poker player?
Oh, I mean, it's a side gig. It's not something that, you know, I like tell people hard, because I mean, like, I'm in the jiu-jitsu world, and so people talk more about jiu-jitsu, but, you know, I play poker. I would say more semi-professionally than professionally, because I mean, I was going to do that before I met Seth and crew. And then, I was doing well with it. And, but it's kind of, for me, it's kind of a lonely world. It's a lot of grinding out, and it's a lot of
Q's wife is grinding.
Yeah, it's a lot of grinding, bumping and grinding, and a lot of, you know, nastiness. But no, it's just a lot of, you know, it's just a lot of, like, people down on their luck, and the gambling world is not a pretty world. There's a lot of degenerates, and it's a lot of, you know, it's kind of negative too, because you're basically taking money away from, you know, people don't know what to do with their money. But it does well. And then I was just going to work for Fight to Win on the side. I was expecting it to be like, you know how most MMA shows are, like, they'll do like a show maybe four times a year or something like that. So I was like, oh yeah, I can do something like that. I can help out, you know, four or five times a year. And then it's just been taken off. I mean, we've been doing shows weekly now. So it's just, I've been devoting more time. Plus it's way more fun. Like, I just, you know, our crew is really awesome. I got to meet Brittany, you know. Our crew is just really good, and we get to travel the country. We're going to be doing big things. I can't really talk about it, but
yeah, we're doing big things.
Bigger things in the future. Yeah, we're going to be doing big things for sure in the future. It's just been a great experience. It's been a great ride, and just kind of, I've just been going along for the ride, and it's been fun. So there's no real need for me to be playing, just poker. And it can be boring too. It's a lot of just waiting for cards, and it's a lot of sitting for sure. It's a lot of, you know, sitting down for 16, 18 hours. So, you know, I go back and forth with it. So it supplements my income.
No jalapenos, though.
Right now, but no jalapenos. No jalapenos there. It's just, you know, standing. You know,
oh, I
looking
will
at
forever.
Cards.
Yeah, I will forever love that memory. You know, your show is tremendous. It's taken off. Brittany, you better tag me in the next time you guys do it.
Okay. Well, we're going to Brooklyn, and we're doing a show there. So.
Yeah, because I got like 8,000 or 9,000 people on my personal page. I'm going to
awesome.
Do everything, like I said, in my power to make Q the most famous. He's going to be more famous than Jackie Chan by the time we get
there. There we go. Jack Q Chan.
Q, you deserve it. You know, before I let you guys go, I'm already 7 minutes over. I just had so much fun on this interview, and Brittany was late, but I can't complain.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. You know, either one of you, Britt, you're the most outspoken. You know, you talk about this next show coming up. What date will that be, and where can they find the previous episodes of Britt and Q?
Mm. Go ahead, Q. You know the date.
When the next show is? The next show,
the next show will be Thursday night from the motel after the beginning of load. And usually we just, like, give an announcement because, like, we're just starting, you know. We try to bring somebody in on it. And if not, we're funny enough alone. And but it'll probably be Thursday night from Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yeah,
now,
I mean, we're gonna retool too.
Yeah, go ahead, Q.
We're probably gonna, like, we're gonna put more effort to it and retool, and we're trying to find different avenues to go along. I mean, we're trying to look at, like, trying to get better lights, you know.
Our lighting guy is doing our lighting for the show, and he's amazing. His name's Evan Burke, and he's like an artist with lights. He does the lighting for the promotions, and he's on the crew. And anyway, he is going to suffer through, he says he's going to suffer through one of our shows for lighting.
Oh.
So we're going to have a better a better yeah. show.
Oh, whatever.
Well, you know, one thing I'd like to do is, you know, I'm going to give Brittany I have several radio pages, so I'm going to give Brittany the password and show her how to get on one of the Facebook pages, which has Skype capabilities and live capabilities and everything, and I'll let you guys run your show from my network if you guys want to down the road.
Oh my god, that'd be
so nice. Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be so awesome.
Yeah, it's totally up to you guys. The offer is there. I believe that much in the show. I think it's a breath of fresh air. I think it's what everybody on social media needs. I'm willing to give you guys your own show each and every week, whenever you guys want to do one. I'm willing to do that and let you guys run your show and get your name out there, Q, because you truly are the next Asian Persuasion. On that note, I'm going to toss the mic over to Brittany. If there's anything you'd like to add before I let you guys go today, what would that be, my friend?
You guys, thank you so much for loving us. We love you back. I want to thank BJJTs because they basically give me Q clothing all the time, and that's all we wear. And so thank you for keeping us warm, BJJTs. Just roll, and we love you guys. So, Q, thank you for being my BFF in BJJ.
Of course, all the time. BFF in BJJ, all the time. Thanks, everybody. Never really had too much fame, or at least
and thank you, Don.
I'm proud of because the Yeah, thank you to Don. Thank you for your offer as well. That's awesome. But yeah, this is the first time for me getting like famous without being embarrassed about it, and something I can be proud of instead of ashamed about since the Naked Juice incident. So, you know, I'm just gonna say thanks to everybody like who listens and watches and whatnot, and just keep an eye on us. We're just gonna be going places.
Yes, and I'm good. Like I said, Brittany, I'm a man of my word. I will give you guys a slot on my network.
Awesome.
On one of my stations. I'll get with you in the next couple of days. We'll figure that out.
Okay.
And that way you figure out how to run the board and everything. And
oh, well, cool.
I'm sure you got IT people over there to do it. So
yeah,
we'll make that happen for you because, as I said, you know, Brittany, you've always been special in my life. You're a tremendous warrior. And Q, I love the show you do with her. Why not share yourself with the world? I'll get with you, Brittany, on that, and we'll make it happen.
Thank you. Awesome, Don. Thank you for everything.
Oh,
yeah,
you're more than
Don.
Welcome. Hey, you guys have a tremendous day, and stay safe.
All right. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Brittany and Q. I will give them a show. They deserve it. That is, you guys got to see this. It's just truly remarkable. With that being said, I'm running 12 minutes behind. We're going to give Travis Hyland a call. See if he answers, considering I'm late.
So here's Don.
Hey, Travis, this is Don McGuire with a Fighter's Voice. How you doing, brother?
Very good. How are you, my brother?
Sorry I ran 12 minutes over. I was having a hysterical interview before with Brittany Elkin and Q. They do a show. They're kind of like the Oleg and Jay, but of live streaming. And you know, it's funny because Brittany's a practitioner, but she's also a cage fighter. And Q is probably the longest white belt in BJJ history. But they've combined this show to the best way I could describe it is I'll have to share a link with you. It's probably one of the most comedic, most funniest shows I've ever seen out there on a live stream. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I don't know who all is going to be on the show today. I know you're on the show.
I got MF and Sam with me right now.
Oh, most righteous, most righteous. You know,
yep.
I kind of want to take things on the beginning of the show on a deep note because it kind of touches on what we talk about from week after week after week. You know, today there was a live feed out there of a fighter from San Francisco that, because of circumstances that perplexed on social media, he decided to do a live feed of him hanging himself. Now, when you look at social media, cyberbullying and things of this nature, and even bullying in your own backyard, you know, what do you think needs to be fixed? And I'll ask you, Travis, what do you think needs to be fixed as far as the internet, the bullying, the tactics, the cyber terrorism, everything in that aspect?
I mean, as far as the internet is concerned, I think the monkey's out of the bottle, man, and there's really no putting it back. And honestly, you know, I've had this opinion for years and years, but if you want to end bullying in schools, you need to teach every single kid in those schools how to fight. You know, it's really that simple. And I honestly, you know, bullying is it's a terrible thing. It's terrible for the kids that are younger and weaker. But a lot of times too, bullying can actually be, you know, helpful. And I know a lot of people don't, you know, don't want to hear that. And we're living in this world where, you know, everything is all fucking sunshines and roses. And, you know, there's equality of outcome, or at least, you know, people are wanting equality of outcome. But, you know, I mean, as far as bullying goes in person, you know, I was bullied, if you want to call it that, throughout school. I bullied my friends, they bullied me. But, you know, it's one of those things where it can be, depending on how you use it, a tool for self-improvement, a tool for someone to, you know, get that fire and realize that, you know, if they don't want to be bullied, if they don't want to be picked on, if they don't want to be treated a certain way, well, then they need to have ownership for their own actions, and they need to go out and be able to do something about it, you know. And that's one of the most real-life lessons a person can learn. So in a lot of ways, it could be helpful. And as far as, you know, social media, man, all that fake shit, it's never going to end. And now people just have a way to be able to bully you without any of the physical repercussions of actually having to bully someone in real life, you know?
So basically, if you want to put it plain and simple, you know, basically life has gone from true life to being able to live it in basically a video game aspect.
Absolutely, man. You know, and it's weird because now you have people who, even in real life, you know, aren't necessarily bullies or this or that, but they get on the internet and suddenly they turn into fucking some dude who's 6'7", 400 pounds, and who's the baddest motherfucker on the planet because they're behind a keyboard. It's weird.
You know, I kind of want to take things on a different note. You know, we talk about several different subjects from time to time on the show. You know, I seen a post today, and I told everybody I was going to stay away from this topic, but, you know, it just kind of bothered me. You know, I see individuals in life that truly earned the right to be called the best at what they do. I seen a post today of an individual basically commending a certain person, you know, for things that they've done, saying they're one of the most true people ever. But then to actually see one of their fighters call them out and say, why do you only tag specific people in these posts? You know, if you're a gym or if you're an organization, why do you think people single people out, and what do you think the motive is behind that? And I'll start with you, Sam Toomer.
Read that bitch closer.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, brother.
My voice is kind of fucked up, but I think people do that. I don't know, man. It's just an inner circle thing. Just kind of like letting people know, hey, yeah, we are an organization, but remember who's in charge. But that's working in the complete opposite direction that you want to be going. Instead of including everyone and making everyone feel like a team in an organization, you want to put a certain few on a pedestal and let everybody else know that, hey, you really don't mean shit to me. But that's how I feel about it.
You know, when you look at it, and I'm going to ask you to reiterate, Sam, when you look at life, and you recently had some major changes in your life, would you say that since the signing of the new management company, there's kind of been a relief of pressure off the back of Sam Toomer? Do you feel like we talked about on the show last Tuesday night that it's the rebirth of Sam Toomer and things are headed in the right direction?
It's the rebirth, but things are still lingering, you know what I mean? I have to go and I have to see these people every day, you know what I mean? I actually work at the same spot. So it's the rebirth. Things are slowly, the dust is finally settling, you know what I mean? I just think it needs more time. And if there's anything else that needs to be said, then, you know, now's the time. If not, then we go on our separate ways and, you know, try to keep the peace.
Yeah. You know, in life, Sam, I'm a lot like you, and the reason I'm going to say this is because I want to apologize to not just the three of you, but the others involved with the Misfits of Gold. You know, yesterday I had 1,000% intent on leaving Springfield and going to Sacramento, which, you know, I looked back and I said, you know what, out of the grace of my heart, I'm going to call this person, and I'm going to explain to the situation instead of just dipping out. And when I did that, I kind of felt my heart overtake the situation, so I kind of know where you're coming from. You know, but then here we are a day later, and I'm looking at myself in the mirror going, I should have just left. And my point being is sometimes in life we let things be a smokescreen. We see things as we want to see them, and we want to give others the benefit of the doubt sometimes in life. And reality, if it's in our gut, it's in our heart, then we truly should go with that to begin with. I mean, honestly, I could foresee myself probably leaving next week. As I stated, you know, I kind of felt a little bit remorseful, but then when I sat down in the situation, I realized that some things are just over. And, you know, when you look at life like that, and I'm going to jump to MF Beck, when you look at closure and moving forward in life, would you say that the show's allowed the Misfits of Gold that opportunity?
Well, I think it's allowed us a lot of opportunities. Yeah, but we've always kind of done our own thing, and you've definitely helped us grow to a, you know, another level. And it's created another story. I don't know, man. It really is just kind of crazy on how things happen and so what we do, you know, and having the support that we have. But as far as what it goes, man, like you're supposed to come out here. Everybody's got life and shit that they fucking deal with, you know. It's all throughout the day. Like, we all have our own things that we deal with, the traumas, the, you know, situations, personal life. Dude, there's all types of different, like, stipulations that just happen. Like, you know, life doesn't actually go according, no matter how bad people want it to be or try to control it with their, you know, control everything in their little fucking lives. None of us really have control. All we can really do is just adapt and adjust to the circumstances as they fucking play out, you know? And as far as the other thing, man, is social media, teams, people. Yeah, I try not to let it fucking bother me. You know, sometimes it'll drag me into it. But especially, like, dude, when it comes to social media, like, I just don't get involved in it. I don't say my opinion. I don't really do nothing like that. But, I mean, why do I want to sit there and listen to some fucking schmuck that's going to sit there and just try and talk to me about this or talk to me about this? But it's like, okay, dude, what are you doing with your life? What do you do with this? What do you do with this? You're going to speak on my shit like you understand it? No, unless you're sitting here living it with me, like, no, you don't get to speak. You don't get it right. So why am I going to engage in some, you know, pointless banter back and forth that people, like, a pissing contest trying to say, this person's the best, this person's the best, this person's the best. Like, yeah, I don't really fucking care, you know what I mean? Like, how people feel about themselves, that's how they feel about them. I feel the way I feel.
Yeah. You know, and I agree with you that forward is always the best thing, but I am going to take a step backwards, because there was a punch thrown at an individual that's in my life, and I know to be very highly respected in the sport. You know, and, you know, for the certain, I'm not going to bring up any names, because that isn't going to get anything anywhere. But I will say this, next time you knock somebody in life, you know, realize that what you have sent them in their inbox or via text or something, you know, the situation I'm talking about is an individual that basically begged a friend of mine for fights for their fighters. And then 20 minutes later went on a different aspect and tried to defame this gentleman, saying that he didn't know what he was doing. He had no capabilities, and he had no connections or, you know, endless opportunities in the sport. But so, you know, I find myself kind of thrown back a little bit. You know, you're begging this man for fights on one hand, but then on another page, you're going to go and say that he's the most worthless individual that you've ever met, and he's not going to get anybody anywhere. You know, that's the type of things in life that just completely drive me insane. You know, I look at life as, you know, say what you got to say, be what you got to be. And I found that the more that I do that in life, the more people back away from me, especially in these days that have been ensuing in the past few months. You know, I'm gonna jump to Travis Hyland. You know, you're the most outspoken one of the group. When you look at the way life is perpetuated, and you look at angles people come, how does it make Travis Hyland stronger in those aspects? And what do you do to keep yourself moving forward? And like MF said, to try to put it in your rearview mirror.
I mean, like I said, man, you know, I've been through enough shit and seen enough shady people to where they've helped me give me a real, you know, a real honest understanding of life, you know. And you got to realize that you know, just because we're in America and it's, you know, the best country that there's ever been in the safest time in all of human civilization, man, you know, none of that really matters. You know, people get so caught up, and there's the duality, you know, of the internet and of real life. And I think it's just another one of those things, man, where after you've seen it a time or two and you've seen people be shady, you know, you can pick that up in other people. And you start being able to develop patterns, you know. And eventually you can pick up, one of the easiest things to pick up is when someone is ultimately selfish. You know, and that's what a lot of this shit comes back to, you know. You see it a lot of times in fight camps where a coach, you know, if you're not training with that particular coach, then they don't give a fuck about you. They don't want you to succeed. And they only want you to succeed, you know, if you're trained by them, if you're under them, if they're going to get the fucking kudos as the coach for your fighter being good. You know, so it just comes back to, you know, like we said again, like life, man, you know, and the duality of social media and real life is starting to take over where people really can't tell the difference.
Amen. You know, I promised myself I really wasn't going to say this because, you know, I do want to move forward with certain things, but, you know, I thought they would rise above the ignorant level, but obviously they didn't, and I'm trying to think of the best way I could put this, but you know what? I think the best way is just to be open and forward. Whoever it is from wherever it is, I'll just leave it that way. You know, the situation I'm trying to bring up, and trying not to really bring anybody's name into it like I want to, is really pissing me off because I thought the situation ended last week. But then when I went to do the show post today, of course my show got flagged again. I do four to five shows a week. None of my shows get flagged except for the Misfits of Gold special. And it's really starting to piss me off. You know, you that is, you know, the people that are doing this, you know who you are. You know, one thing you need to realize that, you know, I may live in Missouri right now, I may live in California next week, but I can always come there. And when you start fucking with me personally, bet this, I know a lot more people than you do. I know a lot more than what's going on. And this isn't a threat, a promise. You take it however you want. You keep fucking with me and my show, and I will make this the last reference. You keep fucking with me and my show, and you will never let it down. You will live to regret it. I promise you that. I will smash you. I will take you out. I will do whatever possible. Because what you're doing is fucking with a show that people listen to, that people want to hear. You know, and if you've got something to hide, that would be the only reason you keep flagging my show. I do 20 to 30 shows a month, and the only show that gets flagged is the Misfits of Gold special. So you know who the fuck you are, and I got one thing to say to you. Back the fuck up. You know, with that being said, I'm going to jump to you, MF, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but why do you think there's so much relevance in flagging this show each and every week?
Shit, it just means we're doing it right, you know what I mean? I don't really care, dude. I could dig how it pisses you off. It's definitely like it affects your fucking personal life, you know, as far as the radio, dude. Like, that's your business. That's you. You know, but like the people just pulling that little petty shit, dude, it is what it is. It just shows we're doing it right, and we're, you know, we are who we are, obviously. I'm fucking what? No, but I don't know, dude. We're doing the right thing. You know, they obviously feel some kind of way to where they feel threatened or fucking, you know, something's not going their way or this happened or, oh, with this, and we're losing fucking control. And I don't know. For whatever reasons, dude, that they feel that they didn't want to go there and flag it, dude, let them fucking do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's shitty, but that just shows that we're doing it right. Because, oh, you're just going to flag the Misfits show every single week. Yeah, we know who you are, too. And it's like, you know, laws aren't protecting you. My fucking morality is.
understand that. But it's like, dude, like, I don't really fucking care. They can say whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. You know, they're fucking with you. They're fucking with us. And all that's doing is just making us stronger. It's making us bigger. Like, I'm trying to go with, like, Sam's fucking state of mind on this. Like, out of state, out of mind. You know, that's like the Freddy Krueger effect. The more we talk about it, the more relevance they have. And I can really fucking give a shit less. You know, I'd rather not even fucking have to think about what the fuck they're doing. Let them go fucking run a circle jerk and fucking take it up whatever they want to fucking do. I don't really care.
You and I both, you know, but like you said, it's kind of hurting my bottom line when I have to go to explain to people.
Well, that's where legal matters come in. You know what I mean? If somebody wants to keep flagging the shit, get it fucking real. It's like, dude, all you're doing is harassing me, and now you're coming at my fucking business. Like, yeah, motherfucker, we could take this the court way, too. We could do this the righteous way. Or I can be in your fucking driveway with a mask on. It doesn't really fucking matter.
Right. Moving forward, you know, I kind of want to knock on Travis and Sam a little bit. You know, last week, you two were MIA. You know what? But it was actually a good thing for once, and don't take that the wrong way. You know, me and MF, we went on the show. We did a show live for, you know, it seemed like 20 minutes. You turn around, you look at the clock. We had been on the air for an hour. You know, I can understand and I can see why you guys look at MF for leadership. He truly is a cool cat in that aspect. And you know what, MF, I do feel very fortunate that I get to spend more time on, you know, the phone with you than anybody else. Of course, mm-hmm. I'm gonna throw that in there since you wrote that in there.
As long as somebody fucking understands that. I'm not a phone talker, bro. Like, I'm just like, yo, let's get to the point. Let's fucking do this. Chit chat. We could do that in person with a beer and a blunt. Like, I'm not tripping. But the phone thing, I don't even like doing that with females, bro. But I do it for you because you're like 800 miles away. Although you did kind of, you know, lightweight break my heart by not fucking coming out here, but. You know, circumstances are what they are.
Like I said, hey, that situation might happen Monday. You never know. Like I said,
Good stuttering, motherfucker.
Nah, bro. I woke up today with the greatest regret in my heart, and that's something I haven't done in a long time. But anyway, let's move forward. It ain't gonna get me nowhere. Because y'all just tear into me, you know, it's your opportunity to get back at me. But I actually want to get y'all's opinion on a couple of things that transpired, you know.
You need to smile more.
Everybody says that, bro. But no, I just want to, I'm going to start with Sam because Sam will understand this mentality. When I look back at and I'm not saying you guys won't, I just want to fuck with Sam, but look at the Demetrius Johnson fight. I just want to get your take, and I know this is way off topic, but I just want to get your take on that submission. To me, that if that doesn't get submission of the year, submission of the century, whatever, I think that would be an atrocity. When you look at what Demetrius Johnson pulled off in his last fight, you as a warrior, what are your thoughts on how he came up with that submission in midair?
Shit, practice. He obviously said that he'd just been working on it and getting it done, and it would be a damn shame if he didn't get submission of the year. This guy is the pound-for-pound best. He's out there doing things that no other human can do. He's, you know, breaking records. He's about to stack that record so high that it's going to be a long, long time until somebody could break it. And the only way he can get competition if he goes up in division. And I honestly think that that man could probably go up two divisions and still have the same success. That fucking submission was bad.
Yeah, but you take it to dig a little bit deeper. I mean, you take it this, okay, and you're a warrior, you're a fighter. You go from where he did basically suplexed him and in midair went into an armbar. I mean, you have to slow it down to fully understand it. I mean, what in a warrior's mind would you say, you know, that isn't something you can learn at the gym is what I'm getting at. I mean, in my opinion, that was probably one of the greatest submissions I've ever seen, and I've been in the sport for 21 years. I mean, wouldn't you agree that that was probably the greatest submission of all time?
Yeah. as of now, yes, that was. And I feel like to disagree with you on something, he actually went to a gym that was allowing him to train things like that instead of trying to keep him in a box, you know what I mean? His coach, he said his coach openly told him to hit that submission we've been working on, you know what I mean? So his coach is obviously open-minded enough to, hey, go try some new shit. You already, he's walking through this this guy, he's dogging him, you know what I mean? Like, hey, go have some fun. And that's what it's all about when you go out there in that cage. If you're not having fun, you're probably too tense and you're going to get yourself beat. But he's out there having a good time and doing it in fucking fantastically, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was a tremendous fight for me. I'm gonna jump to Travis here for a second. You know, Travis, you look at the capabilities. You listen to what Sam just stated about Demetrius Johnson. I'm gonna kind of put you between the rock and the hard place. Now, if you look at Demetrius Johnson, look at his whole career. The only fighter he's ever had a problem with and pretty much almost lost to would be Tim Elliott. You know. When you look at it in that aspect, you know, the sport is basically anybody's fight once that cage door closes. But would you, as Sam stated, would you consider Demetrius Johnson going down in history as the greatest of all time, or would you like to see a rematch between him and Tim Elliott and then make that decision?
I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I think that if Demetrius fights Tim Elliott again, Tim does nowhere near as good. And, you know, that's not a knock on Tim Elliott at all. That is just saying that, you know, Mighty Mouse is on that next fucking level. You know, honestly, I could see Mighty Mouse's next fight, you know, being going up and having a super fight with, you know, TJ, possibly something like that. But yeah, again, man, you know, like Sam was said, the thing that's crazy about Demetrius, you know, is he comes from a camp where he was never put any limitations on, you know. He's not at a camp where your head coaches are telling you, you know, boxing and jiu-jitsu only, boxing and wrestling only. You know, he has a coach who believes in him and who believes in his skill set, and they know each other. You know, him and Matt Hume are so fucking close on such a personal level, you know, that it's like they trust in each other fully. And that's kind of the situation, you know, a lot of us have over here with MF. And it's a situation where when you can trust somebody and you know that that person is open-minded, and you also know that you can talk to that person and find out why they want you doing it this way, and you can also move amongst them and, you know, change things for yourself. That's one of the best things that has ever been working with MF, you know. He's the type of guy who he'll show you 10 different moves, and you can pick the one that you like and the one that's good for your body, and he'll show you how to incorporate it with the shit that you're already doing and the shit that you're comfortable with, you know. So, again, I think Mighty Mouse is on that next level, not just because he works hard and not just because he's super skilled and athletic, but he's free. You know, he's free and he's comfortable and he's able to go in there and he's able to try new things. And he's in there, you know, and he's breaking molds.
Go in 0810.
You know, I agree with you. And, you know, MF, I'm going to take it from a trainer's perspective. You got a guy such as Demetrius Johnson, such as Sam Toomer, you know, and this happens a lot in a lot of gyms. You get an individual that is the best man in the room. You know, what is it? Because I know you truly care about each and every fighter that walks through your door. I know you're open with them about life and everything. You're about as real as they come. You're the epitome of what a trainer should be. So, when you get a guy like Demetrius Johnson, you know, that is the best in the room, or a guy like Sam Toomer that's the best in the room, what advice do you give him?
Man, it really depends on the person, you know. Sam was a different level than the rest, whether it was how we connected or skill set or just everything just in general. But it's a little different, you know. It's you try not to mold them into you. In my opinion, that's what a lot of trainers and coaches make that mistake, is they try to mold these people into them. And it's you know, we're all our own people. So I try to just really pay attention to what they do, what they like to do, how their body moves, you know, like what makes them tick. The more you understand about that person, you kind of start seeing like, well, you know, they're more inclined to do this, they're more inclined to do that. So you can kind of tailor how you work with them, but then you can also figure out like the weaknesses and once you figure out like the weaknesses and the strengths, it's like you see what you have to work on. You see like, okay, well, who they're going to be fighting, like what options are available. So it's you can't really label it to just one person. You know what I mean? But I try to just not control, not dictate, not anything. Like, here's your options. I'd rather have them work on what feels natural to them than sit there and try to force any particular
technique.
Yeah, any particular technique or result, you know? All I can do is just be there for them and help guide them, dude. But just like anything else, you know, they got to be able to drink the water if I lead them to it. You know, I can't sit there and fucking drink it for them. But, and, you know, and I appreciate the kind words, brother, man, but I am in no way, shape, or form any epitome of fucking any type of trainer or coach. In fact, people should not want to be like me. keep that attention, you know. Dude, it is what it is, you know what I mean? It wasn't a role that I chose. It was just a role that seemed that that's where fate or destiny, you know, had for me. Like, we're all where we're supposed to be at the time we're supposed to be there, you know?
Well, you know, I'm kind of going to put you on the spot again, and I know you guys will agree with me. You know, you look at Antonio McKee. A man accepts no responsibility for what he teaches people. A man that doesn't brag about anything he does in life. You know, you look at Antonio McKee. He's hated by many because they don't understand who he is as an individual in life. He walks a different path just like you do. He doesn't walk to the beat of anybody's drum but his own, the same as you. But yet, you've got these fighters that find themselves drawn to you. Now, Sam Toomer, I know you and MF instantly clicked on a different level, but when you look at the scenario that I put in front of you comparing MF to Antonio McKee, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. I don't like really comparing anybody, but I like MF.
No, I mean, the understanding is that, you know, MF says, I tell people you don't want to be like me, But what I did in the comparison was I showed another individual in the sport is truly, he's a truly great aspect of the sport. The sport wouldn't be the same without him. And I'm trying to put that into a comparative with MF. You know, I'm comparing Antonio McKee to MF. They both say, you don't want to be like me. They both say, you know, I can't take any credit for where I'm at. That's the angle I was going, sir.
Man, I think guys like that are super crucial, especially in the evolution of the sport. You know what I mean? Everyone, I feel like I just keep talking about this, how motherfuckers just keep getting stuck on this one way. It's like you have to do something different in order for anything to get better. If you're doing the same shit, eventually people get tired of that same shit, and whatever you're doing is going to fail. Or somebody's going to catch on to it, and they're going to beat you. So you have to be able to think outside the box. You got to be able to look outside. You can't be afraid to want to step outside and learn some new shit or be that, you know, throw up that fucking crazy ass submission. You know what I mean? How many people have the balls to even do some shit like that, let alone the skills? You know what I mean? You have to be willing to step out and peacock a little bit. You know what I mean? Let everybody know that there's something different out there. So people like that are super crucial, I think, in life and in fighting. In any kind of evolution, any kind of business you're running, anything. If you have everybody thinking the same way, your shit's going to be the same forever, and eventually your time will come. Until you fucking change and decide to go outside the box and improve. Don't be afraid to go outside the box. You might fail, yes. But the fact that you even have the balls to, you know, that's more than most, you know what I mean?
You know, and I got to commend you, Sam. I think that's the most you've ever spoke on my show.
Sorry.
You know, but...
Man, passion.
Boy, nigga was full of passion, bro. Nigga's on a roll. But, you know, what he said is true, you know. What Sam Toomer is saying is true. You know, even though, I mean, you could hear the passion, and I'm glad you exemplified it that way. You know, Travis, you hear Sam speak. What's your take?
You know, man, it's beautiful, and that's the reason why I think that we're also, you know, drawn together, because none of us are married to our ideas, man. You know, we realize that just because you learn a skill, that skill is not unique to what it is, you know? I mean, like I've said time and time again, man, fighting has taught me more about life than anything in the world. Fighting has taught me more about myself, about, you know, the things I like to do, how much I can take, what my breaking point is. You know, so it's like no matter what skill you're gaining and developing, whether it be engineering, whether it be math, whether it be shooting a bow, whether it be gardening, any skill out there, it is not, you know, it is not only for that one particular thing. All these things carry over. And so I think that's, you know, like I said, again, that's why kind of all of us came together. And it's the fact that we realize that if you're all thinking the same way, if you're doing the same thing, you're not going to fucking go anywhere. It's like get in new people, get in new ideas, throw around crazy ideas. You know, we talk a lot of crazy shit that we're not even necessarily, you know, married to or even think is a good idea. But the only way you can find out is if you talk about it and if you have that open discussion. You know, and this comes back into just, you know, the politics in America right now. We've come to a point with this entire country where nobody can have a fucking discussion, you know. If you're on the right wing, you're a fucking racist xenophobe, and if you're on the left wing, you're a fucking whiny pussy. And there's no in between, and nobody can fucking talk about anything, you know. We can't have a conversation about abortion. We can't have a conversation about drugs. We can't have a conversation about any of these big ideas because nobody wants to hear the other side, and everybody is so married to pro-life or pro-choice or pro-gay or pro, you know. The fact of the matter is the only way that people as a culture as a whole figure things out is being able to sit down and openly discuss ideas without ridicule and being able to work everything out until we find out what the best solution is. You know, we're in a new world now where everybody is so fucking offended that we can't solve anything because nobody can have a fucking discussion without it just being, oh, you're a racist, you're a sexist, and the entire fucking conversation gets shut down.
Yeah, you know, I kind of feel you on that because MF will tell you, I did a show last week when you guys didn't show up. You know, the second half of my show was Emmanuel Newton and Franklin Benjamin, who is a conspiracy theorist. And so you look at Emmanuel Newton, you got a man that's going to speak purely biblical. And then on the other line, I have a conspiracy theorist on this Vegas shooting. But one thing that honestly I love about this show was one thing that happened on that show is about 10 minutes into it, Franklin Benjamin says, Emmanuel, can I interrupt you for a second? He said, if you would have told me 20 minutes before this show, 10 minutes before the show, whatever, that I would be believing in religion, I would have told you to go fuck yourself. He said, but after hearing you speak, he said, you know what you're talking about. You know exactly where you're going. And this interview transpired from a live feed that Franklin Benjamin did, and Emmanuel was commenting on it, so I jumped into this feed, and, you know, the show was given birth. But, you know, one thing I like about it is I'm able to bring individuals from all aspects, all walks of life. And, you know, they didn't see eye to eye before the show, but they saw eye to eye after the show. You know, looking at it that way, wouldn't you think the world would be a much better place if everybody could speak physically? And I'm going to jump to you, MF Beck.
Dude, I don't really think it'd necessarily be a better place because everybody being able to speak their mind. There's a lot of people out there where it's all just booty chatter, you know, like it's all just fucking nonsense coming out of their mouth. They don't know what they're talking about, or they're going to preach about shit that they understand fucking very little. So, I do believe in, like, free will, free choice, you know, free speech or whatever. But at the same time, it's like people driving vehicles, people that own guns, dude. Like, there's definitely, it's like, it's a catch-22. You know, you want to give people that freedom, but at the same time, you're giving all these fucking assholes freedom at the same time. You know, so people want to complain about guns. Guns kill people. Okay, well, I could get in my truck and go GTA, motherfucker, just like fucking other people have done before and take out twice as many. You know, like, it's shit's fucking crazy nowadays. The internet just gives everybody a voice, everybody an opinion, and then a lot of opinions are based off of falsities. You know, like some kind of fucking, it's a farce, some kind of fucking fallacy that justifies why they feel or believe the way they feel. You know, and then they feel powerless, so they look into people for power, for fucking guidance. And in turn, those people feel fucking powerless, so they look to other people for fucking guidance. And the next thing you know, you have some fucking uber con man that somehow fucking, you know, slithered his way all the way to the fucking top. Like, dude, even Machiavelli talks about it in The Prince. if people that come to power by that unjustly means, you know, like fucking criminal means. Like, there's certain things that happen, and there's like a game that's played. And it's cold because all we are just fucking little pawns, not even pawns. We're just like grains of sand in like the real fucking big game. And everybody's all distracted by my opinion on this, my opinion on this. This matters to me. This fucking matters to me. I'm left wing. I'm right wing. This is my sports team. I listen to this music. This person's an asshole. This person's an asshole. It's just wild, dude. Like, yeah, it'd be nice if people could come together and exchange ideas. You know, I've mentioned this shit before. It's like, right now, what I'm going through with these guys is something different than what I've been through my entire life. Like, I've never gone through this, so I'm not exactly sure what's happening. It feels different, and it feels better. It feels right. It feels natural. You know, like, we can actually sit here and discuss these ideas. Like, normally, dude, people would always look at me like I was fucking crazy or saying, like, you know, my head's in the clouds or I dream too big or that'll never happen or woo-woo-woo. And, dude, I just didn't fucking care. You know, I quit telling people my dreams. I quit telling people what I was going to do. I'm going to hustle in silence. I'm going to do it. You know, I'm Joe motherfucking Beck. I said I was going to do it. I fucking did it. And I did a lot of it by not fucking, you know, explaining what I was going to do. But with these guys, it's like we can check each other. We can support each other. We could do the roles as, like, real friendship and real relationships are supposed to do, you know, like the tribe mentality. But people are so focused on, like, this farce, this fucking giant construction of a fake life that people fall into, you know what I mean? Because they know, like, there's scientists behind it that understand, like, what it triggers in the brains to where, you know, when people see a like or somebody comment on their post, like, it makes them feel happy. It's like fucking lighting a cigarette, dude, or taking some fucking shit. You know, there's a big game of what's happening, dude. It's just a giant fucking manipulation game. And it's like, sometimes I wish that I didn't fucking chase a rabbit down the hole, you know, because ignorance is fucking bliss. But at the same time, it's good that we fucking did, because then we can exchange ideas. But it's the same thing, like, when, you know, anybody tries to do good publicly, what happens? Yeah, you should have kept that shit secret, dude. You know, or at least fucking, you know, kept it in the fucking background where people aren't fucking talking about anything. But, that's just the way it goes, my brother.
You know, I feel you, but what I was getting at is, you know, and that's one thing I love about the show that we do, and, you know, I think what I'm going to do in different facets, basically to, you know, minimize what I'm going to say, is I'm going to take individuals from different aspects that don't agree with each other. I'm going to watch these feeds, and I'm going to find two individuals that actually don't agree with each other. And I'm going to bring them on. I'm going to bring them on a show. I'm going to do a show just off of that. You know, if I could take Emmanuel Newton and Franklin Benjamin and bring them together and get them to understand, you know, my point is that life is missing communication. You know, most times nowadays you could see a family sitting at the dinner table. They're all on their phone. And are they talking to each other? Yeah, but they're 3 feet away, but yet they're talking to each other through a text. And when you can't, you know, physically, vocally express your thoughts or your, you know, how you feel about life with somebody, I think life is lost. You know I came into the show a little bit late today, and I know today's show is totally off topic in a lot of ways. But basically, you know, I love doing this show because it allows us to be a voice, no matter what voice that is. It's our own voice. It's our own opinion. And you don't get that nowadays. But one thing I take away from this show is loyalty and real. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for coming on every week onto my platform and, you know, answering my questions, even though some of them may be, you know, very hypocritical. They may put you in a bad spot. But the point of the show is to share life for what it is, and you gentlemen do that week in and week out. And for that, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You know, I'm going to turn the mic over to Sam Toomer. You know, Sam, if there's a final thought you could give on going out of the show and the rebirth of Sam Toomer and what people can expect from you and your sponsors, the floor is yours, my friend.
Nothing really different to expect from me. Is I'm just going to keep doing me, you know what I mean, and keep walking my path and not let anything hold me back. And I just hope that everyone else does the same. Really just break that fear of, you know, wanting to try new things or just experiment. You never know what you would like or what you would be into or what would work for you or what won't, you know, until you go out there and try it. One of my first jiu-jitsu coaches told me that, Elias Gaglieos, said, Sam, put yourself there or you'll never know how to get out. And he was right, because I would never go into people's guard. And once I put myself in people's guard, I did not know how to get the fuck out until I learned. So put yourself in uncomfortable positions. Make yourself uncomfortable so you can learn and grow. Shout out to some of my folks. This company, Cookie Kings. So you know what we got. Strength and conditioning coach, Derek Anderson, Urban Sprawl. Thank you guys for letting me use your facility. The Misfits, always. Love you guys. And I'm going to pass this bad boy over to whoever wants to hop on. Peace out, Don.
Peace out, bro. Travis?
I guess for my final thought here, we'll go along with the same terms of, you know, kind of rebirth. And I got a challenge out there for everyone out there listening, you know. I want everyone this week to just go out, man, and just try something new. You know, do something that you've never done before, something you've been interested in. Because a lot of times you'll find that, you know, just by giving yourself a new perspective and by learning something that you've, you know, always wanted to learn, or just something completely, completely unrelated, man, it'll open up a lot of new doors and a lot of new perspectives for everything else in life. So for anybody out there, go out there and learn something new, and take a picture. Send it to us on Instagram, Facebook, Misfits of Gold, all that good shit. And, you know, shout out to everyone out there who's still supporting. Love you guys.
MF?
You know, it's the same thing. I thank all the same people, you know, the fucking, I got some awesome people in my fucking life. Kind of going, you know, you already know the fucking stress that's on my mind right now. It's like I'm going like a million miles a minute on top of dealing with shit that, you know, we thought was dead last week. But it is what it is. As far as like a final thought, final statement, I just say with people, it's just do what you want to do. You know, it's I always went with the decision that scared me the most, which frightened me the most. And it's led me down the right way, you know. And if majority of people tell you can't do it, fucking do it. Prove them wrong. Whatever the case is, you know, it's not necessarily about moving on. It's about moving forward.
Amen to that. You know, and my final quote for this show probably came to me from an individual that is just like you. He's a black belt in the world, and he's actually in the top 10. But he said, "I always want to be remembered for being the greatest white belt ever, and live your life that way." You know, and it goes along with what every one of these gentlemen said. You truly should live life each day to the fullest. You should never consider yourself to be the best, because if you do, then you stop learning. And obviously there's a lot of people that can take away from that message. You know, I don't know if they will. I hope they do. But on that note, MF, Sam, Travis, I want to thank you once again, my brothers. It's truly been an honor and a blessing, and I look forward to the show each and every week.
Hell yeah, bro.
As do we.
All right, y'all have a good one. Talk to you later. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the Misfits of Gold, and, you know, I truly mean that. You know, he told me he was a black belt, but will always be a white belt, the world's greatest white belt. And, you know, we kind of touched on that one a little bit with Q earlier. You know, he wants to be the longest white belt in history. That's kind of comical. You know, today's show was fun. It was life for what it is. You know, with Britt and Q, you got to love him. Q's going to be the next internet sensation. But the Misfits of Gold, it's a show that really means a lot to me. And for it to be flagged each and every week, it's wearing a little thick on me. But the bottom line is, you know, start communicating with your neighbors. Start communicating in life. And with that being said, I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. I want to thank the 86ers. I want to thank the United Way Merced and Affliction. On top of that, I just want to thank everybody. I didn't have a show yesterday, but we'll get another one going here. This Tuesday, we'll have a bunch of fighters in-house. On that note, here's some Soul Sonic Force. Good day and God bless.
Party people, can y'all get funky? Soul Sonic Force, can y'all get funky? Don't do you later, can y'all get funky? Yeah, just hit me.